You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, July 3rd. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, America, Past, Present, Future.
Thank you, ladies, very, very much. Very, very well done. May I say we have a youth revival coming up, and it's like a conference you ought to attend. And if you're an adult, you ought to come. And, of course, it'll be during the week here in just a short while away. You'll hear more and more about it as we get closer. And so please be a part of that. And if you've not turned in your commitment yet for youth revival, that's very important that you do that as well. Let's take our Bibles and go back to Psalm 33 and in verse 12. Psalm 33 and in verse 12, where the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." On July 4th, 235 years ago, the Declaration of Independence was approved by the Continental Congress. And that was the starting of the 13 colonies on the road to freedom and a sovereign nation. And because these men came together, and because they put God first, and being led by God, we have the country that we have. Last year in America, during the holiday seasons that we celebrated, the Easter and the Christmas and July 4th and all the other holiday seasons, last year, $111 million was spent on popsicles, $94 million was spent on lighter fluid, $600 million was spent on fireworks, $194 million was spent on hamburger patties, $111 million was spent on charcoal, $203 million was spent on mayonnaise, ketchup, and mustard, $101 million was spent on sodas, $167 million was spent on beer, $92 million was spent on watermelon, $162 million, I noticed that the only amen I got out of that was watermelon, $162 million was spent on lettuce, tomatoes, relish, and onions. We have spent a lot of money on entertainment when it comes to holidays. But this ought to be a day that we can look at as a day of remembering the sacrifice that has gone into making our nation a free country. Do you realize that since 1775, there's been 655,754 American soldiers that have died in battle? It's estimated by July the 4th that our population, by July 4th now, tomorrow, that the population of the U.S. will be 311.7 million people that live here in the U.S. of A. Last year, 2010, there was, last year, 2010, on July the 4th, there was 3.2 million flags that flew during the July 4th celebration of 2010. 80% of them were made and imported from China. May I say that we ought to be a place in America that we are proud to be Americans. Let me give you some reasons this morning, if I may. I'm going to give you just three statements this morning. Statement number one, what has God done for America? Is there some things that God has done for America? The Bible says over in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. May I say that God has been good to America because God gave birth to America. You think about our song that we sing, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee." We sing that because we're honoring God and what God has done. You know, God has been very good to us, but let's not forget that in the first colonies at Jamestown, Virginia, the first building that was ever built was a church building. And by the way, the only building today that still exists from those original buildings is the wall of that particular church building. All the other buildings are gone. The Puritans, the very first thing that they did, the very first act that they did at Plymouth Rock was to kneel pray and praise God as they dedicated a new colony. It was Roger Williams that was a Baptist preacher that established Rhode Island. It was Lord Baltimore that had a church service in the establishing of Maryland. William Penn was a Quaker, but he established the states of Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware, Connecticut, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. William Penn was a governor, and in his politics in Pennsylvania, he said this: in order to be a politician, these are the requirements. First off, all treasurers, judges, and anybody that's an elected politician has to profess faith in Jesus Christ. Our nation has come a long way. The founding fathers consistently, all throughout their teachings, utilized people that pointed back to the utilizing of the Bible and the Ten Commandments. You realize that 12 out of the 13 original colonies imported the entire Ten Commandments as a civil and criminal, if you would please, code that was installed. It was President John Adams that said the law given there at Sinai needs to be civil, if you would, and would also matriculate moral and religious code. It was the American Bible Society that was placed into act by Congress as John Adams, the second president, served as its first leader. And so it was the American Bible Society that was an enactment of Congress. The laws of our land is based on the Ten Commandments. It's based on the Bible. Matter of fact, if you go to Supreme Court building, you'll see that it was built in 1935, and carved in the front of the building is Moses holding the Ten Commandments. For a long time, all the Supreme Court justices would come into the front of the building. But when America started to slide to the left and became a little bit anti-God, not as much as they even are today, but a little bit anti-God, it became a rule that all the Supreme Justices would now enter at the back of the building. The House of Representatives, across from the Speaker, you'll see that Moses is sitting there as a sculpture. See, all throughout our buildings in the Capitol area, you're going to see a reference and a pointing back to God. In 1782, the U.S. Congress voted, now think about this, that all schools have the Bible taught in it from kindergarten all the way through graduation. When we started to take the Bible out of the public schools started to go downhill. When we took the Bible out of the public schools, you'll see that corruption began to rise and crime began to rise. And that which was a disorder began to rise, all because we took the truth out. Adolf Hitler said this. He said, "You allow me to change the books that's in the school system today, and within 10 years, I'll change the nation." May I say that because our public school system now has taken God out of the picture and has brought in a humanistic type of teaching, may I say that our country, as far as our young people is concerned, is very weak when it comes to standing for truth. God has blessed our nation. The Constitution ends in the year of our Lord. Our national motto is, "In God we trust." The Pledge of Allegiance is one nation under God. God has blessed our nation. God has been good to our nation. Tons of stories. You think about this. When the British commander, William Howe, was moving 30,000 veteran British soldiers to take New York. It was General George Washington that only had 18,000 inexperienced soldiers in 1776. They went against the British and they lost 1,000 men with their first encounter. They lost two of their best generals in their first encounter. General George Washington looked at the 17,000, less than 17,000 men that was left on that evening. He said, "If God does not intervene, all hope is gone." So he told the men, he said, "Let's gather for prayer." They gathered for prayer that evening. It was a very wintry night, and it was a storm that was brewing, and it was a really, really bad looking evening. Gathered all those men for prayer, and they got down and they prayed and they asked God to intervene. All of a sudden, the storm stopped, according to records. They began to get in their boats because they're going to have to make it over to the Manhattan Island on that cool wintry night. And so they got into their boats. And as they got in their boats, there was a cool breeze that came up behind them and pushed them ever so mildly towards the Manhattan Island. They looked back and they testified that that could only be the hand of God. He knew that by the time the sun was coming up, that there's no way that those less than 17,000 troops could make it to the other side by daybreak. And so he passed the word quietly along, pray in your boats, pray in your boats. All of a sudden, as the sun is coming up, a great fog set in that hid them from the British. What is that? That's the very hand of God that was protecting the birth of a nation. Now I say God's hand has always been there. Those that was in Operation Iraqi Freedom, they could see that God's hand was in that particular war simply because of the fact that there was more people killed on the streets during that time in the US of A than there was on the foreign field. What is that? That is God's hand of protection. God has been good to us through and through. God has protected us through and through. Let's never forget that our nation was birthed by God and our nation has been blessed by God. And let's decide as individual family members and let's decide as young people this morning, let's not cut God out of the picture, because after all, look at all that God has done. I've said if you come to Cambodia with me today, if you would have went with me 2 years ago, it would not be so. But if you were to travel with me to Cambodia today and you pass out any piece of literature whatsoever that has the name Jesus Christ written in it, that it is 2 years imprisonment, no questions asked. But in America, we can pick up a Bible. In America, I, underneath the protection of the American flag, can go out on any street corner and be able, at least by the right of the Constitution, to preach the Word of God. God has been good to America. Today, we don't have to worry about going through checkpoints just to prove and to show paperwork proving that we are who we say we are. But today we have freedom to travel from one state to another state without going through the checkpoints that they have in Russia, without going through the checkpoints that they have in other nations. God has been good to America. May I say, we ought to honor God in America, statement number one, because all that God has done. We ought to honor God in America because all that he's doing. Look at Job chapter 34. Look at verse 29. Job chapter 34, verse 29. The Bible says, when he giveth quietness, it says, who he can make trouble. Listen to it now. Who then can make trouble? And the Bible says, when he hideth his face, who can behold him? Whether it is done against a nation or against a man only. He said, who can find his face if he hides it? Who, if you would, could give quietness if he undoes it? Or who could make trouble if he gives quietness? What is he showing? He's showing that his hand is still working. His hand can still work. But America's a long way from being the America that was established by our forefathers. You think about this, that last year it was reported by the FBI that there was every 24 minutes there was a murder. Every 7 minutes there was a forcible act of immorality. Every 68 seconds there was a robbery. Every 51 seconds there was an aggravated assault. Every 27 seconds there was a violent crime. That means that last year alone in America, that every 3 seconds there was some major criminal offense that was committed. Now why? Might it be that because many Americans today have turned their back on God? Might it be that because now God is our emergency blanket and we only turn to Him in time of distress? Might it be that because there are so many people out there today that has forgot even the motto of our own country, in God we trust? Might it be that you and I perhaps have backed off a little bit and we don't pray to God like we ought to, and we don't get in the scriptures and we read about Him like we ought to? Might it be that in America today we have taken and we have put less effort and we put less desire and we put less commitment in serving God and being close to God? And I'm telling you, in America today, we do not need less God. We need more God in America today. If ever there's a day you need more help in your family, it's today. You didn't have all the temptations years ago that you have today. You didn't have all the things that tries to get a young person's attention years ago as you have today. And so all the more reason we need to turn to a holy God. All the more, you cannot rear a godly family without God today. I'm saying that this morning we can look back and we can see all that God has done, but we can look and see what's happening in America today, but yet the Bible still is true. It's not that we have eternal life in Confucius, and it's not that we need to turn to Muhammad, and it's not that we need to turn to any other type of pagan god, but we still need to turn back to the God that our forefathers knew and our forefathers embraced and our forefathers loved and our forefathers obeyed. Who is that? That's the Creator God. Who is that? That's God the Father, and the way we go to Him is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why Jesus said emphatically so in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, where He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So for the person that's lost their way, He said, don't fear, I am the way. For a person that can't find the way, He says, don't fear, I am the way. But He doesn't stop there. He said, I'm the way, the truth. So for the educated person that's looking for an educated way, He says, I'm the truth. You cannot get any better education than embracing the truth. Why would a person want to study and embrace a lie? So He said, I'm the way, the truth, and then He says, the life. For the person that is longing to be able to have that life, He's the only one that offers that type of life. I was preaching a youth camp last week. Brother Chris Cantrell, pastor of the Hope Baptist Tabernacle there in North Carolina, preached, and he preached a great message one of the mornings, and he had the Declaration of Independence. And as he preached about the Declaration of Independence, Brother Chris got up and he said, one of the things he said that kind of discouraged me a little bit is he said, I went to Washington, D.C. and I visited the archive building where they have the Declaration of Independence. He said, and I went in there and he said, I was excited about seeing the original Declaration of Independence. And he said, but I was befuddled and I was kind of dismayed when I went up there, and the only name that is now legible today and readable today is John Hancock. All the other ones are faded away. Can't read any of them. But isn't it amazing, John Hancock, the first one to sign the Declaration of Independence, he said that he wanted to sign it extra large and extra thick so that King George would not have any problem reading it without his spectacles. And wouldn't it be good today if you and I felt the same way? Wouldn't it be good if we decided to live our life in such a way that nobody would have to look extra hard or put on their spectacles to see, understand, believe, and accept that we are true Christians? Wouldn't it be good if we stepped up and we signed like those men? And by the way, they knew what they were facing. Did you know that signing the Declaration of Independence was, them signing it was a decree, if you would please, of forsaking the king. You know what they did to a traitor back then? They would capture them and they would take them back to England. Now listen to what I'm saying. When they would capture them and take them back to England, what they would do is, once they would get to England, is they would take that individual and they would disembowel them, and then they would pour hot flames of coal and set them on fire, and if that didn't kill them, they'd behead them. They dip their heads in wax, and then they put them on stakes outside London, and it would put their name there, and underneath their name, they'd say traitor. You know what that meant? That meant this. That meant that these men, by signing the Declaration of Independence, they knew that possibly they were laying down their lives. They knew that they were not going to see their wives perhaps ever again. They knew they were not going to see their children perhaps ever again. They knew that, and by the way, these were not poor men. Most of these men were very, very wealthy men. Most of these men had a great degree of character, and they knew that they were about to lose everything by signing the Declaration of Independence. But they also knew that they could not be under that which is the rule of a king that would not allow them to have the freedom to be able to worship God and to serve God and to go forward. And they knew that by all the taxes that was coming and there was no representation, that somebody had to take a stand. And they decided if somebody's going to take a stand, and by the way, who was going to cost the most was the ones that had the most. They knew that they were going to be ripped of all their possessions. They knew they were going to lose it all. But they said together, we're going to go forward. And if there's ever going to be the establishing of a nation, one nation under God, somebody has to do it. Somebody has to stand up. Somebody has to go forward. Somebody has not to be afraid. And I'm saying today in America, before she goes all the way down, let's decide to stand up. And you be proud that you're a Christian. You be proud that you're an American. You be proud that you're still in the land of the home and the land of the free and the land of the brave. Hey, I'm saying this morning, thank God he did all that he did, but thank God he can still bless today if we do what we're supposed to do. I'm saying this morning, statement number one, God has been good to us because of all that he has done. Statement number two, God has been good to us for all that he's doing. Statement number three, God can still be good to us if we do right in the future. Listen to your Bible. Bible says in Psalm 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. He said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I traveled to the King's Palace in Bangkok, Thailand. Saint and his dad was taking me to visit the area. And so we went down to the King's Palace and several different places in the King's Palace. People were kneeling. They were lighting candles to Buddha. To Buddha. And I thought, how futile, how sad. You know, the only difference between many, many of our northeastern cities that somebody would bow down to an image and another country is it's just a different image. If you go over to the Bangkok area, Thailand area, you'll see that they have spirit houses. And in front of their own houses, their own places of residence, they have spirit houses. And they'll offer sacrifices, burnt incense, and sacrificial gifts to the spirit that's in that spirit house. Because they believe by doing so, the spirit comes alive. And the spirit will hover around your house and protect you. There's only one spirit that's alive today. That's the spirit of the Lord God. But you go over to Africa as you would come and maybe go to Nigeria and go to a place like that. You see that now you're going into Muslim territory and you see that they go and they bow down. But what they're bowing down to is to a false god. Listen, I'm saying this morning that you and I can thank God for all that God has done. And we can thank God for all that God is doing. But God doesn't have to be done yet. God doesn't have to quit yet. God can still bless. God can still answer prayer. God can still come through. Listen to our Bibles this morning. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. So why is it that some people would get mad at a preacher that would get up and he would name sin? You know, until you know what sin is, how in the world do you know that it's wrong? Come on. Why in the world would you want to go to a church where the man of God does not get up and show you what's wrong so that you can get right, so that you can be who you're supposed to be? Now, wait a minute. Here's what the Bible says. Watch what it says here. Watch it specifically. He, that's one individual, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now, we've got a bunch of he's in here, and we have a bunch of she's in here. Now, if you take the he's and the she's, and we say that this room right here represents our nation, this is it. This is just our nation. We have gathered, and this is the nation. And if I have a bunch of he's in here and a bunch of she's in here, stay with the thought, that are covering their sins, here's what God says about that nation. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Is it any wonder that we give away most of our commerce, if you would, to other countries? Most of our produce now is done in other countries. Is there any wonder? Is there any wonder that we're having so much problems in America today? Is it any wonder that people get mad? I mean, they get mad. When a man of God gets up and a man of God gets behind the pulpit and he begins to shout about a certain sin, they get mad, they get bent all out of shape, they'll go stomping out of church and say, I'm not going to go to that church because I don't feel comfortable. Who said you're supposed to feel comfortable in church? Who said it should be a tea party, social event? Wait a minute, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. If I'm spending all my time covering myself, oh, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, God understands, but it'd be okay. But, you know, after all, I mean, you know, God's not judging me, so it should not be all that bad. You know, sometimes I think we live so much in judgment, we don't understand what judgment is. We live so much in judgment that we don't understand where the real blessing is because we've never seen it. Can you imagine? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Watch this. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins, plural, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Watch the rest of the verse. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh, watch it, forsaketh what? Them, all of them. The Bible says forsaketh them shall have mercy. So God said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, for the person that covers it. He said, I'm not going to give you mercy. Mercy is withholding God's judgment. Grace is giving me what I don't rightfully deserve. Because of grace, I get to go to heaven. Because of mercy, I don't have to burn in hell. Now, here's what he says. He says, look, he says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Now, it's one thing to just exist. It's another thing to prosper. It's one thing to just get by. What's America doing right now? America's just getting by. In some cases, not getting by. I'm saying this morning, if a person will come to a holy God and get right with a holy God and let God be God, hey, he's just not the big man upstairs. He is God. And we come to God the way God wants us to come to him. And we stop playing with the sin. And we stop hiding in the sin. But we come to him and we confess it and forsake it. What's that mean? That means walk away from it. Confess it. What's that mean? That means that I agree with God against myself that my sin is wrong. Say, God, you're righteous, you're holy, you're perfect, and compared to the righteousness of God, I am unrighteous. Oh, God, would you please forgive me? I confess it. This is wrong, and then I forsake it. What is that? I walk away. I don't go back and double dip. I don't go back over again. Come on. Well, I sin. God, forgive me. Well, I sinned again. God, forgive me. Well, I sin again. Hey, if you do that long enough, how many of you have a child that does that? You just kind of believe that perhaps they didn't mean God for, or Daddy, forgive me, because they just keep doing it over and over again. I mean, God said a part of being forgiven is forsaken. Hey, walk away from it. Oh, yeah, you go to him and you confess it. He does forgive it. But a part of being forgiven and having the mercy applied, the mercy applied, the mercy applied is forsaking it so that you're not going to be judged on that which you did not do yet because you're not going to do it again. Why? Because you forsook it. You walked away. Oh, watch this. I'm done. I said statement number one. I said as we review our great nation, as we look at our nation this morning and we see exactly what God has done, there are some marvelous things that God himself has done. There are some things that God has done in our nation that we never should forget. America in the past, God has blessed it. America in its present, God has blessed it. And the same God that has done that is the same God that can bless America in the future if America comes back to God. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He said, because his compassions fail not. So he said, look, if we'll just come to him, he'll forgive. He'll forgive. I said, when I was 18 and a half years of age, I came across a verse and I tucked it deep within me over in the book of Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, where the Bible says that when you come to the Lord, that he blots out your iniquities and he remembereth it no more. You know, that's God. God is the one that when I come to him, he has the ability to block it out, if you would please, to blot it out. It is gone. He forgives it. He forgiveth that iniquity. And then he said, I don't remember it ever again. Now that's God. Here's what it says, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible says they are new every morning, talking about his mercies. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So when I come to him, his mercies are new every morning. And he said, great is his faithfulness. What's that mean? That means that those mercies are waiting there for you. And they're great. Watch this and I'm done. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7, says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So he said, for a person to come on to him, he said, I'm going to show him mercy. I'm going to show him mercy and I'm going to abundantly pardon. When do you come to him for salvation? God says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When do you come to him? He said, how shall we escape so great a salvation? How can we neglect that? What am I saying? I'm saying, boy, God has been good to us. He really has. I preached that youth camp, and I was down in the valley. No cell phone access or ability. And I was preaching the youth camp down in the valley, very cool in the valley. It's called the Camp at the Creek. So very very cool in the valley. And I'd walk up to the top of the hill and get cell phone reception. And Brother Scott Welch, the camp director and assistant pastor of the church there, he picked me up, I think it is about 6:30 or 7 o'clock, to go catch a plane to come back. And as he picked me up, I was out there walking the parking lot. I went out early. I got out there about 6 o'clock, and I was just walking and praying a little bit. And boy, you know, I took some pictures of the scenery. Just beautiful, beautiful pictures. And boy, it just helps you to be thankful that we have a country where you can do that. I'm saying it's important this morning. Remember how good God's been. Remember how good God is. I wonder today if it was just you and I in a room and we were going to be the ones that had a choice to say, okay, do I sign the Declaration of Independence? Do I declare a new independence of being free from the slavery of kingship to the freedom of God? I wonder if we knew what it was going to cost. Yeah, there were some guys, and this really happened, by the way. But there were some guys, and they wanted to come, and they wanted to worship with true believers. And so they burst in the back door, and they were dressed in black, and they had guns. And it was during a Sunday night church service. They took one of the guns that had blanks in it and they fired it into the air. They shouted, "Unless you want to die for Jesus Christ, get out." Over 50% of the congregation ran for their lives. After 50% of the congregation ran for their lives, they took their hoods off. And they said, "Now we can worship with true believers." Now, I'm not going to put our assistant pastors up to that task. But may I say this morning, it is so very important that we understand the blessings of God in the past and the blessings of God in the present. And we can have the same type of blessings today. I went to that camp and God was working. But I'll be honest with you, I'm just being honest. There was a night I gave an invitation. I gave the invitation. And we had a good altar call every night. I mean, I'm telling you, the thing was just packed out. Kids crying, teenagers getting right with God, getting saved, surrendering to the mission field, surrendering to go serve God. Brother Moore, it was a great, great camp. God was doing some. Two pastors' daughters received Christ. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. But I'll be honest with you. One night I gave an invitation. I separated it deliberately. I gave the invitation for the young people to come forward. Then I gave an invitation for the adults to come. And there was a few, but only a few. And I went back to my dorm, and I wept, and I cried. And I thought, does that depict America? Where the older people are just backing away, and only the younger people are stepping forward. Is God preparing a generation of young people that might have to go through the sacrifices of paying a price because their parents aren't paying a price today? And I begin to wonder. And man, Brother Thompson, I wept and I cried and I wept and I cried. And I thought, dear God, don't let it be that way. Don't let me be somebody that backs off, and then one of our kids in our church has to wind up laying down their life because they had a preacher that wasn't worth his salt. Dear God, don't let that happen. I was talking to someone. I said, you know, remember Dr. Seitler years ago? I said, Dr. Seitler said there was a day when it dried up, just dried up. He said, I didn't know what to do. He said, it seemed like that all of a sudden the church had become cold. This is back in the day when Dr. Seitler would preach the old Southwide Baptist Fellowship meetings that Dr. Robertson was the head of at that time at Highland Park. And he said, I remember a day when I would preach, and he said the altars would flood and people would get right with God, and there was tears. And he said, but even in my own church, he said, started to dry up. He said, then the Holy Ghost gave me an idea. He said, why don't we, instead of having altar call at the end, let's have altar call at the beginning. That way everybody can be thoroughly right with God, so when they hear the word of God, it has free course. That's back in the day when he started to call for men's altar prayer. If you've ever been preaching in the North Carolina, Tennessee areas, when they come and pray, they don't pray quietly. They go to altar and they start praying. Everybody's praying out loud and everybody is trying to get a hold of God, and boy, they're just praying and praying and praying in earnest. Wait a minute. He said, I called those men to the altar, and he said, boy, I got them to pray. He said, when men gathered at the altar, God, I believe, looked down and said, it's my men coming home. I believe I'll do something. Now, I say more than the generation that is to come of young leaders, there needs to be a now generation. There needs to be a generation we stop playing church. People say, well, I came Sunday morning, got my fill. You need more fill, so come back Sunday night. It's time that we put God back in the center place. So I was telling one of the brothers there, I was saying, you know, boy, that's what happened there. And he said, Dr. Seitler said, when that started happening, he said, preacher, it's just like God opened up the windows. He said, and now people were coming back to the altar and people were making decisions. And he said, God just revolutionized what was doing, what was happening, because men came together and they prayed and they trusted God and God moved in. He said, my church was never the same. That night, the night after, I don't know, for some reason, God put it on Brother Welch's heart. And he said, look, he said, there's somebody in the hospital and they're hurting. And I think God arranged that. He said, there's somebody in the hospital and they're hurting. And he said, we're going to have an old-fashioned men's altar call. Are you listening to me? All those men got up. They got down there. They start squalling and praying. And boy, you could hear them praying out loud. And boy, they were breaking. Their hearts were breaking. And tears were rolling down the altar. And boy, you could just see that God. And then all of a sudden, Brother Scott got up and a camp director. And he said, let's have a song. And they had a song. People started running to the altar before the service. Before the service. Come on. Kids are bawling their eyes out, and moms and dads coming, and people coming that did not come the night before. You know why? I think it's because some men got a hold of God. They've already had a lot of preaching. They get preached to three times a day. Boy, and that word of God was resonating in their hearts. And then to cap it off, the Holy Ghost of God through them praying, I believe, came in and just started working and working and working and working and bringing it back to their remembrance. And they started coming to that altar and they started praying. Then Brother Welch looked at me after they testified after that for an hour. That's before church started. And here they're standing up, teenagers all over that place, bawling and squalling about getting saved that week and getting called to the mission field and God working in their heart. And boy, they're bawling and squalling. They're standing up and they're testifying. And then Brother Welch looked at me and said, what do you want to do? I said, well, I'm going to preach. And so I went over and he gave me liberty and preached. We had another altar call and it just went on. I'm saying, look, that's the way it needs to be. You know, why is it? I don't understand it, but please forgive me. But why is it that people come to church just to get out? Hey, this ought to be the main thing. Hey, this is better than steak on Sunday night. This is better than going out to eat on a Sunday afternoon. Your kids need preaching. You need preaching. Get back in church. Be where you're supposed to be. Let God have first ways in your heart. Put God first and let God work. I'm saying, listen, this morning, we have a great nation. Boy, we have a nation that God has worked in. We have a nation that God is working in. And we have a nation that God wants to work in. Don't let it stop because of you. Let's be people that go to Him.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.